Number 16 in the appendix, verses 1, 3, 5, and 6, please. Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear art thou to me. Our cares, our fears, assailing, I find my strength in thee. Why should I be broken? All is my
turn with me, your young people, to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8, And the fourth verse. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Now you turn over also to the 12th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken away aught out of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that ye have found, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord, of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and unto the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, he said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold the Lord has set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, For then shall ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, and I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, he shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now would you also turn with me to one other passage in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Well, dear young people, the reason I have read these verses this afternoon is because I believe they bring before us the importance of having the Lord alone before us. You know, we're living in times where there is much to discourage. There is much to cause us to feel that, is it really worthwhile to wholeheartedly follow the Lord Jesus? And we see a similar time in Israel's history. Now, there came a turning point in God's ways with them, and there came a great sorrow, and it was very necessary that the people should be encouraged to look away from all the instruments and to look to the Lord alone. And this is the desire of my heart for you this afternoon. There are a great number of us here this afternoon, but we come from small meetings. And some come from very small companies. Perhaps there are no other young people in the gathering. And it's very nice to be with a large group like this. But you say, oh, how different it is when I go back home. There's very little fellowship. We don't have good times together. And perhaps you feel discouraged. And I've read these verses this afternoon in order that we might see that the Lord is the one to whom we should look. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the one that can sustain us, no matter how dark and difficult the day. The reason I read that in the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel is to show that it was the occasion of Samuel's failure in his household that caused the people to turn away from the Lord and to desire to choose a king. And how often we who are older can give occasion, perhaps without realizing it, that others should be stumbled by our actions. And we see here that in this case it was so with Samuel. And the people turned and asked a king. And it doesn't say that Samuel was grieved over what they said to him. He took that from the Lord. But he was grieved that they turned from the Lord to some other person, to make the other person their object instead of having the Lord as their king. And perhaps, dear young person, you have been stumbled by someone to whom you looked. You thought that person would be an example, and he has not been an example to you. And you have said, well then, I don't see how I should follow the Lord. He's older. Well, dear young person, it grieves our hearts that we fail. But it grieves our hearts more that anyone here should be turned aside from following the Lord and should choose some other person and have that person as your object instead of Christ. And so we find that there was a reason why the people wanted a king. What was the reason? They wanted to be like the nations. And isn't that like us? You know, we like to be accepted, don't we? We like to be accepted. Well, I've often said God has made us accepted. It tells us that we're accepted in the Beloved. It tells us about Paul that he labored, that whether present or absent, he might be agreeable to the Lord. And I don't blame you young people for wanting to be accepted, but I ask you, who do you wish to be accepted by? Are you like the Apostle Paul who labored that he might be accepted by the Lord? In everything in his life, it wasn't just to be accepted by others, but it was by the Lord. And he said, in this life, and when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I labor that I might be acceptable to him. But oh, there's a great danger in wanting to be acceptable to others who might turn us away. And that's what happened in Israel. They wanted a king to be like the nations. And if you and I are just seeking to be like the world because we haven't found our satisfaction and joy in the Lord, we have begun to tread the path of danger. And we don't know where that path may lead. Dear young people, it's a slippery path. It may begin by something that doesn't look like very much, but it began with Israel when they eyed the nations around them and thought, we just like to be the same as they are. We'd like to go out with a visible head before us. We'd like something for sight instead of walking by faith. And this grieved the heart of dear Samuel. But it tells us that the Lord said, well, Samuel, that's what they want. And so you can choose them a king. And now, dear young people, this is a very serious thing. And that if you and I were to desire to go on in the world, the Lord might allow us to go in the way that we wanted. It says in the Psalms, he gave them their desire. He sent leanness into their souls. And if you are desiring to go on in a way like the world, perhaps the Lord will say, well, I'll just have to let you go along and see where that path leads. Oh, I plead with you, dear young person, don't make such a start. A start in a thing is so important. And if you start in the wrong direction, why, there's no telling where that path will end. It's all too easy to make a bad start, and it's very hard afterwards to apologize and say, I'm sorry. It's one of the hardest things for any of us to say, well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Our natural hearts don't like that, and the devil knows that very well. And I believe that one of his greatest snares for Christians, and I don't only say young people, perhaps it's worse when we get older. What the devil does is try and get us to make some false step. And then when we realize that it was a foolish step, he says, now don't say you're sorry. Don't go back. Don't be a fool. And so instead of acknowledging it, we continue. Oh, I ask you, if you've taken the first wrong step, ask the Lord for grace to say at once, Lord, I've made a mistake. And seek to come back to him at once. As it's often said, short accounts with God are best. Well, now we come over to this 12th chapter, and here it tells us that Samuel had grown old, and perhaps you wondered, as you read this first part of the 12th chapter, if Samuel was boasting. Perhaps you say, why did he say all those things? It looked as if he was boasting about his own integrity. Well, may I pause here to speak a few words to those of us who are older? And I speak to myself. If I speak to you who are older, I believe there's a deep lesson for us in this. And I believe the lesson is just this, that Samuel sought to walk with a good conscience, but he said something like this, if I've done anything to stumble my brethren, I want to say I'm sorry. I want to say I'm sorry. And you know, sometimes we who are older do things that stumble young people. We do things that are inconsistent with our testimony as older ones. Have we got the grace that Samuel had to stand up before his brethren and ask them, is there something that I've done that stumbled you? Is there something that I've done that's hurt you and wounded you and been the occasion that you should have asked for a king? Oh, may the Lord give those of us who are older this grace. I can tell you that there's an untold amount of good can be done by the humility of those of us who are older. It's so important as we go on in the pathway of following the Lord that we walk in humility, because surely as we grow older, what do we find out? Do we find out that we're better as we get older? Oh no. The older you get, the more you realize what a poor failing thing you are. The older you get, the more you realize the wonderful grace of God, but you certainly don't think more of yourself. And dear older ones, may I say this, this to me is very challenging, what Samuel did on this occasion in standing up before these who had asked for a king and seeking to maintain a good conscience before them and to be willing to acknowledge any mistake. And he said, I'll restore it if there's anything that I can do to help out so that you might go on for the Lord. Oh, may there be this desire in our hearts. And now he comes in the sixth verse, and Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. He takes them back to the beginning of their history and shows that in his goodness and grace he had delivered them from that slavery in which they were in the land of Egypt. And all I trust this time has come in the life of each young person here when you have been delivered from the slavery of sin and Satan. I hope that each one in this room can say, well, the Lord has set me free. I was once a slave to sin. I was once under the bondage of Satan. But I thank God that he raised up an instrument who spoke to me about my soul, and he has brought me to himself. Oh, what wondrous love it was that picked us up in the first place. And so he says, now therefore stand still that I may reason with you. You know, sometimes it's said, well, we shouldn't reason. But here we find that Samuel wanted to reason with them. It's fine when we reason out of the scriptures. God has given us intelligence, but our intelligence should be in subjection to the Word of God. Our thoughts should be governed by the Word of God, for it's only from the Word of God that we will get the wisdom that comes from above, the true wisdom that is really worthwhile. And so he said, now just stand still. And dear young people, will you just stand still, as it were? Will you just pause for a moment now and go back in your mind and think of how the Lord saved you, how he brought you to himself, and how he has a claim over you. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. We belong to him. The price he paid for us is more than we can ever measure. And as we have had in these meetings, the love that he has for us is absolutely beyond our comprehension. The place that he has prepared for us is so wonderful that I'm sure when we get there, we'll say, the half was not told me. Doesn't he then have a claim? And I think this is very lovely what he says, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord. Isn't this beautiful? He doesn't say all the gracious acts of the Lord. There were many gracious acts of the Lord. Why does he say the righteous acts of the Lord? Oh, isn't this lovely? God has found a righteous basis by which he can bless you abundantly. God has found a righteous basis through the cross of Calvary that his heart can flow out without limit to you. There's absolutely no limit to the blessing that's in his heart for you, and he can do it righteously, because the whole question of your sins and mine was settled once for all at Calvary. The barrier has been removed. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? He was really saying like this. He said, my heart is restricted in the outflow of blessing until that question of sin has been settled. And when that question was settled, now there's no longer any hindrance. And I can reason with you of the righteous acts of the Lord, of how he can bless you, dear young person, without limit, because of that work that Christ has accomplished. And so he tells them, when he goes back, when Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. Yes, God delivered them, as I said, from the bondage, and he brought them into that good land, that land flowing with milk and honey, that land where he wanted to bless them so marvelously. But it says in the 9th verse, and when they forgot the Lord their God, they forgot him. And aren't we forgetful too? Don't we get so involved in enjoying the blessings? A nice sunshiny day comes, and we get more occupied with the blessings than the blesser. We meet some nice friends, and we get so occupied with the pleasure of meeting one another that we forget the blesser. How easy it is for us to do that. How easy for us to forget the one who sends all the good things that we have. And so they forgot the blesser, and then God dealt with them. He delivered them into the hand of Sisera, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Yes, God in his governmental ways allowed these problems to arise in their lives. They might have said, oh, it's Sisera, that terrible, cruel man. Why doesn't God punish him? Well, they had to first of all be brought to humiliation themselves. They had to look at themselves and say, why did God allow Sisera to come up against us? They had to be brought to the point where they said, why did the Lord allow the Philistines to have such power over us? Why did he allow the king of Moab to rise up against us? And oh, dear young people, don't look at the second cause, look at the first cause. You say, what do you mean, the second cause? The second cause is what appears on the surface, but the first cause of everything is God. He's the one that's behind everything. As it was remarked in the meeting here, there's nothing. We can look at the instrument. We can look at the hand of the person that says or does the thing that has hurt, but God has allowed it. And why did God allow these things? He allowed them to bring his people back to himself. It didn't justify some of the things that the people did against Israel. And God finally dealt with Sisera, and he dealt with the king of Moab, and he dealt with the Philistines. But he had something to say to his people too. And he has something to say to us in all that happens. There's absolutely nothing that happens in your life or mine by chance. And if we would only get before the Lord and ask him as to why things have come, why the Lord has allowed it, and he has allowed it for some purpose. And so it tells us here, and they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned. When they cried to the Lord and just looked at Sisera, or at the king of Moab, they didn't get deliverance. But when they pointed the finger at self and said, we have sinned, then the Lord came in. Then the Lord graciously raised up deliverers. And it says in the 11th verse, and the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. How often, over and over again, he graciously came in. And can you look back on your life and see how the Lord has helped you in many situations? Difficulties have arisen, trials have come, and the Lord has come in. But you say, but there's something I'm facing right now, and I just can't see any way out of it at all. And that's just exactly what happened here. They forgot about the past and how the Lord had come in and delivered them. And they looked at the now situation. And they said, well, yes, but what's happening now? Here's Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon. And so they said, we'll have to have a king to defeat him. We have to have somebody to help us out of this difficult situation. And instead of turning to the Lord, they chose a king. And this is the condition, this was the circumstance that we began to speak about when they chose this king. So we see here, and it may be, as I say, a similar situation in your life, dear young person. Perhaps right this afternoon, there's something come up in your life, something come up in your meeting, something come up, and you say, well, why can't somebody help me out of this? And so you look to man, but have you looked to the Lord? Have you really turned to Him in brokenness of heart before Him and taken the humble place? That's the place of blessing. And so it tells us here in the 13th verse, now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold the Lord has set a king over you. Was this king able to deliver them from all their enemies? It's true, he did help them in some of their situations. And perhaps you say, well, I've got some help from people here and there, but there's one who can deliver you in every situation. There's one who's sufficient for every problem. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's sufficient for these situations that come in your life. Have you turned to Him? Have you really got down before Him for the answer that He alone can give? And says in the 14th verse, if ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Here is something interesting too. You might say, oh, but I've got myself into a situation now. There's no getting out of it. There's no getting out of it. Oh, isn't this wonderful? The Lord said, well, you've got yourself into that situation, and I'm not going to let you get out of it. It's part of my government that you're going to have to suffer because of getting yourself into it, but I'll be with you in it. And I'll come and comfort you, and I'll come and sustain you. That's the kind of a God we have, dear young people. That's the kind of a God we have. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness and they sinned, and they rebelled against the Lord, why then the Lord said, you're going to have to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. But He said, I love you so much that if you'll make a tent, then I'll come down and dwell in that tent with you and provide a way of approach into my presence. And while you wander those 40 years in the wilderness in your tents, I'll live in a tent with you, and I'll provide a way that I can go on with you. Oh, dear young person, don't be discouraged. The devil wants you to give up. He wants you to say, it's no use. I made a mess of my life, and I don't see any way. No, dear young person, the Lord doesn't give up those who belong to Him. He never does. It's true, He may not remove His governmental hand. It's true, we may have to pass through things, and they may remain with us the rest of our lives. But the Lord came down, and it says, in all their affliction, He was afflicted. Never a sorrow that they felt in those 40 years that He didn't feel it too. Never a trial that they had that He wasn't right there and felt it fully. And after they got into the land, and David said that he would like to build a house for the Lord, the Lord said to the prophet, No, Nathan, go and tell David that I don't want him to build me a house, because he said, the land doesn't have rest yet. And he said, I won't dwell in a house until my people have rest. And when they have rest, then I'll rest with them. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? The God who has saved you is not going to forsake you. He's always with you. And there's a day coming when then you and I will find, as the little hymn says, the rest of God, our rest to come, our place of liberty. That's the home that we're going to enter. But now to go on with this, it tells us here, then in the 16th verse, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. And then it tells us here that it was wheat harvest, and God allowed this thunder and rain to come and hindered the harvest. Well, I believe, dear young people, and older ones too, that we should realize that our failure is often the hindrance to blessing amongst us. And God would have his people realize this. He would have them realize it. And so Samuel said, we want you to realize that your failure has been the cause. It was a great harvest, but God sent thunder and rain. And I believe, brethren, the fields are white to harvest, but we're the hindrance. We're the hindrance because we haven't been going on for the Lord. And the blessing that's within our reach, the privilege we could have of having share in God's work here in this world, is often denied us because we're not going on with the Lord as we should, ourselves, individually and collectively. And then the people, when they saw this, they really feared. They felt sad. They felt cast down. And we might well acknowledge that there is a great work to be done. We hear about it everywhere, of God working in the blessing of souls. And we can say that we seek to go on in the path of obedience, but I believe that we have much that we can challenge our own hearts about. Is there not a great hindrance in our own walk and ways? Is there not often a hindrance to blessing? Because as people look at us, they say, well, I don't see that what you profess has brought you real happiness. You're not rejoicing in the Lord. Mr. Darby said, our testimony to the world is our joy in the Lord. But we're not going on in this way. And so here, the people had to acknowledge this. But now the 20th verse, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. In the 19th verse, they had said, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And now when they had acknowledged their sin, isn't it beautiful to hear Samuel turn to them and say, fear not. Fear not. That is, even though they had failed, he said, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. He said, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve him. And the reason I felt this burden particularly on my heart today is because as I look over the number of young people that are here today, and I think of what a wonderful privilege we have to be saved and to know the truth that has been committed to us. And yet, how often it's true that we're not walking in these things, and I believe that many of our young people today are thoroughly and utterly discouraged. And they're discouraged and they're sort of to the point where they're feeling like giving up. And he says here, follow the Lord and serve the Lord. In spite of it all, dear young people, perhaps we have failed as older ones. Perhaps, like Israel, we failed collectively. But the Lord has not changed. The Lord has not changed. And all I want to encourage you, don't give up, but instead it says, do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Oh, put your heart into it. The Lord has won your heart and mine. And if you feel discouraged this afternoon and you say it's no use, oh, don't turn aside. Oh, don't give up. And so Samuel repeats this. He said, and turn ye not aside. Turn ye not aside. That is, continue in the path. But now he said, For then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And isn't it true that if we turn aside, then what will we turn to? Just like the disciples, they were very, very discouraged. And the Lord said, will ye also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? And dear young person, do you say, well, I'm discouraged, I just feel like giving up. Then I say, to whom are you going to go? Where are you going? You surely, the Lord hasn't disappointed you. He's still the same. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you do, what will you turn aside to but the things that will not deliver? The world can't deliver you. It can't satisfy your heart. And many a dear Christian who has perhaps in later life been restored to the Lord, he was turned aside over something that happened, and he left and he comes back and he finds that he spent his life serving the things that don't deliver, the things that don't bring happiness. And so I just want to say this to you this afternoon. Don't turn aside. I know that we're living in days of failure. We older ones have failed. Brethren collectively gathered to the Lord's name have failed. There's much to humble us. There's much to keep our heads down. But oh, how encouraging this word. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Yes, isn't this lovely? It has pleased the Lord to make you his people. And we can say, we belong to him. And now he brings before them the resource of faith in an evil day in this 23rd verse. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Here was the resource, exactly the same resource that Paul brought before them at Ephesus. He told them when he talked to them in the 20th of Acts that of their own selves would men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He told them about what was going to happen from without and from within. And then he said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And here at the close of this message from Samuel, he says there are two resources. And that's prayer, and that's the Word of God. And that's the resource, dear friends today, dear young people. This is our resource. It's a sin against God not to pray for the people of God. And may we each ask ourselves, are we praying for others? We had a brother in Ottawa many years ago, and he used to so often remind us about Paul. He said, we never read Paul telling us that he was praying for the saints when they were going on badly. He said, we read about him praying for them when they were going on well. Perhaps that's a striking statement to you. And why did he pray for them when they were going on well? Well, he knew Satan would make an attack on them and try to turn them aside. And dear young people, we want to pray for you, and those of us who are older, are we praying that our dear young people might be preserved, and that we might walk before them in such a way that they would see that Christ is our all? Are we turning them to the Word of God? This is a day of inquiry. This is a day when young people everywhere are asking questions. And one of our brothers said some time ago, he said, there are no bad questions, there are only bad answers. And you know, that has struck me. It's remained with me. They asked many strange questions of the Lord, but those strange questions only brought out the wisdom and love of his blessed heart, and he always answered the questions wisely. He answered them wisely, and young people are full of questions. Are you and I, who are older, trying to answer these questions? This book has the answer. They need answers to their questions. They're in a day far more difficult than we lived in. They're exposed to far more than we ever were exposed to. But this book is still up to date. It's still the answer for every day and for all the situations that arise in 1973, may we then remember this resource. And then it says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He has done for you. And then again, I would mention what I read in the in connection with the Transfiguration. There were two great men, Moses and Elias. And on that Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Moses and Elias talking with Jesus. And they got their eyes on Moses and Elias. And the Lord had to, the voice from heaven had to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And perhaps when you've come to these meetings, you may have got your eye on some person. But God wants you to see no man anymore save Jesus only. Every person may disappoint you, but the Lord Jesus never will. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And may the Lord grant that we'll serve Him in truth with all our hearts, that we'll consider how great things He has done for us. And as time goes on in our lives, that we'll seek to look away from all those things that would distract and discourage and see no man anymore save Jesus only. Oh, dear young people, I want to encourage you to follow the Lord. As I said at one of the other meetings, and I say it again to you here, I was very much struck in reading in, I believe it's Deuteronomy, and it talks about the value of the different ages of life. And it says from the age of 20, I believe it is, until 60, the value of a man was about two or three times as much as after he was 60. Indeed, after up to the age of 20, he was worth more than the man who was past 60. And so, dear young people, you're very valuable. If the Lord leaves you here, you have health, you have energy. God has given you a keen mind. And, oh, I do desire to see you go on for the Lord Jesus. May the Lord grant that you will see no man anymore save Jesus only.